In Sunday school, we'd like to give your attention here to our guys and memory verses.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Thank you, guys. Wonderful truth. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad you're here. And it's a rainy day, but we're dry inside, right?
We need it.
We can use it. Any announcements for today?
Today's birthday Sunday, and our birthday treat lady is not here, so I guess maybe we'll have that next Sunday.
Okay.
I have it listed on my refrigerator, and I didn't think. Maybe I need to start giving heads up.
Any other announcements? The newsletters are out. Thank you, Maxine, for those. And it is May, so the April showers are bringing the May flowers, aren't they? Let's begin our worship with this prelude. Just because he lives. Our call to worship is from Psalms 30. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for this glorious day that we have a chance to come together and to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. And we thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. To celebrate this little Easter, this third Sunday of Easter, we are reminded of your grace, your mercy, and your power. And God, we pray your Holy Spirit would come and have his way in our lives today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in standing and singing hymn number 279.
Showers of blessing.
seated. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and Pastor Sam will be with you. Pat and I will not be here, but we wanted to wish all the mothers here today a happy Mother's Day, and also just wanted to share with you a little bit of personal history and something that's meant a lot to our family. My stepfather, Clarence, when he was 10 years old, recited this poem on Mother's Day for his mother at the Church of God in Shippensburg, and that was 1942. And we found out later, after many years, that my stepdad carried this little poem in his wallet all those years. So as he was farming, going across the fields and going here and there and to church and everywhere, he carried this poem for his mother. And so it must have meant a lot to him. She passed away when he was in his 30s, probably 31 or 32. She died in 1962. And so he recited this a poem, and he could recite it by memory years later even. And so we took this poem, and when he turned 80, we kind of changed the wording a little bit and made it Father's Accomplishments. But this poem is entitled Mother's Accomplishments. She never taught in any school. She never went to college. But let me tell you, she's just full of every sort of knowledge. She never studied medicine, and yet she always knows the best and quickest things to do for cuts and bumps and blows. She never studied law a bit. She hasn't a degree. But when it comes to settling scraps, well, she's some referee. And she's a dandy cook, she is, and when we want to sing, why, she can sit and play for us as fine as anything. Then she can make my sweaters, too, and make herself a gown, and trim a hat that's just as well as any hat in town. She'll mend a thing as good as new and drive a nail in straight and help a fellow with his sums to save him from being late. I have no doubt if any man, as far as I've heard tell, can do many things as that and do them all so well. So happy Mother's Day. We bless you. Where would we be without the women in our lives? And so thank you. Hope you have a blessed day and celebration with your family next week as well. We want to take time to pray over our offerings. We continue to receive those in the offering box there in the back. The call to stewardship comes from Micah 3, 10 through 11. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that it may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your favor. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you provide for us. We can't count all the ways that you have benefited our lives, Lord. And we are grateful for the way that you have provided for the needs of this congregation, and we pray, Lord, you continue to use the funds wisely and help those that divide the funds and share them. We pray that you would allow us to continue to pay all the bills, and also then you would reach out and meet the needs of those around us and also even around the world. And so thank you, Lord, for the blessings, and as the tithes and offerings come in, would you multiply them and use them greatly for the work of the kingdom, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Joys and concerns. What would you like to share with the congregation today? Deb?
I got a call this morning from Darlene's husband, Jigs. The reason why the girls aren't here today, they have Ricky at Gettysburg Hospital, and they are going to transport him to York. He has fluid on his lungs, and they don't have a doctor to do that at Gettysburg, so he's at York. So
okay.
Please keep them all in the prayer.
Especially prayers for Rick. Okay.
And Cody. Please keep him in prayer, and family, and Travis.
Thank you. Others? Right?
Yeah, Bramley, and also Dottie McValentine, which I mentioned last Sunday. And there's some I know that's in our congregation here, my brother and his wife and family and so forth, that needs the prayers, and we just need to keep them in our prayers. And also, we need to keep the leaders of our lands and nations in our prayers, because it seems like a lot of things are going on now that we need help. We hope that they put their trust in the Lord and they make the decisions.
Thank you. Chair?
I'd like to keep my boss's little boy, grandson. His name is Gavin. He woke up this morning covered in hives, so they're on the way to the hospital with him this morning. So they ask for prayers. Also like to remember our friends and neighbors on the other side of the other church, the Allball family, in the passing of their son last Sunday. And they really need prayers lifted up. And then unspoken requests.
Others. Dan?
Just keep the Peters family on the prayer list. And then also my neighbor, Zach. He's still trying to heal the skin from the accident, and it's taken a while.
Okay. And any other unspoken requests? Just a hand up and down. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we are able to come boldly before your throne of grace today. Thank you, Lord, for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and allowing us to have access and giving us salvation when we put our faith and trust in you. And so, Lord, we just ask that you might continue to move mightily in the needs and the concerns of the congregation here today. God, you know what's on our heart, what we have been praying for. And we just ask, Lord, that you would touch the lives of these folks. Pray that you would move mightily and meet the needs. Specifically, Lord, we pray for Rick. We pray you would help the doctors and the nurses there in York as they care for him and meet the needs of the Baker family. We pray for our young men. We pray for Cody and Travis and others, Lord, who need a touch of your grace. We pray, Father, that you would continue to help those of us who are getting older and need extra care. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who are not here today. We think of our country, Lord. We think of leaders across the lands and the nations. We pray, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom, that you would surround them with wise counselors. Help them to make good decisions that affect all the people. Lord, we pray that you would help those, your church, that are under persecution. Keep a hedge of protection around them, Lord, we pray. Lord, we think of children today and be with Gavin. And we think of others who are struggling with health problems. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort those who are sad. Be with the Allball family. Meet the needs of those who have lost loved ones recently. We pray, Lord, that you would touch each family in our congregation. We pray, Lord, you would reach out. As we reach out to our neighbors, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them as well. And meet the unspoken requests, Lord, of our hearts. Maybe things are too deep to put into words, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is able to utter these things and bring our requests before you. Lord, we lay them on your throne today. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way. We pray your will would be done. We pray your kingdom would come. We know, Lord, that you're doing great things all around the world today. Many things are being accomplished in the face of fire and flood and danger and all kinds of weather events, earthquakes, war, famine. Others are coming to see you, Lord. They're coming to see you for who you are. And many are turning to you. And we pray, Lord, that there would be yet still a great spiritual harvest in these last days. So, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on all flesh. Teach us as disciples of Christ how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you join me in standing as we sing number 289? Scripture for today comes from Psalms 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me up out of the depths and will not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. The Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I called for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds now would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Use these words, Lord, to touch hearts and change minds and change lives for eternity. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you probably have seen them. You probably have made some of them, and you may have even given some of them. Perhaps you've even done a few of them. Favors. They come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. Usually you'll get a favor at a party, maybe a wedding. Sometimes you'll do a favor, sometimes for someone nice. Maybe someone's done something nice for you. Favors often are little trinkets or little knickknacks that we receive as an act of kindness. I brought with you a collection here of things that we have gathered over the years. Here's a favor that we got. I like this one. It's a little wash basin. This was Sam's Creek's anniversary, and they had a little piece of towel out of, hanging out over it, a foot basin, with the name and the dates here on it. Nice little souvenir from their anniversary. And then I like this one too specifically. These are kind of brother related. But this was a mint cup, nut cup. It has a little prayer covering on it. Someone took time to really sew together a little prayer covering and glue it on there. So these were really a nice little favor at each place setting. I'm sure you have some favors that you've gathered or collected over the years. We've had one that we kept many years. It was an owl made out of two pine cones, kind of stick wings, and a lady had given that to us once. I always like things that are homemade. Little favors. Favors are an act of kindness that kind of go beyond what we're expecting. They are sometimes a show of support for an individual. We like to extend favors and give favors to people that we like, and sometimes just even to show just a little advantage or to take advantage of a relationship. It's natural for us as human beings to want to be liked by others. We desire the approval of others. We seek to be attractive or acceptable. We seek to have, sometimes even to have an advantage. And yet we have to be careful not to allow the enemy to misuse this for us. Inadequacy or inferiority or insecurity, low self-esteem, these can be factors that can work against us. But it's more important for us to look to give a favor, to grant special concessions to people, especially people in our own family, in our own family and church family as well. Brothers and sisters in the faith, we should look onto them as favorable and look to be favorable to them. And it's important to be favorable to God. And so let me ask you this morning, have you found favor with God? Have you found favor with God? The Bible tells us there are many men and women who down through the centuries have found they were in favor with God because of their faith and acting upon their faith and trust in God. They received the favor of God. The Bible tells us that the Lord respected Abel, not Cain, but respected Abel and accepted his grain offering. We know that famous verse that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was with Joseph in the Egyptian prison. God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them. Moses found grace in the Lord's sight. Samuel grew and was in the Lord's favor with all men. David found favor before God, desiring to build a place of worship for the Lord God of Jacob. The angel Gabriel said to Mary that she had found favor with God. And we also know that Jesus grew and increased in wisdom and stature. gaining favor with God and with man. The earlier church continued daily with one accord. They had the favor of God, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Are we in favor of one another? Are we in favor with God? Are we in favor with men? Have we found favor with God? Have we experienced God's favor? Well, I think we would say that God is good, right? We have been blessed. We have been blessed in lots of ways. And so consider some of the favors, the ways that God has blessed you. How about birth, time and place, and parents? You know, God formed us in our mother's wombs and gave us the breath of life. We were born in this generation. Sometimes I think I should have been born a generation ago. But God placed us in this time frame. He placed us in this country. And He placed us in the family that He gave to you, your parents. I was blessed to be in a blended family. My father and stepfather and my mother celebrated over 40 years together. And so as I look back, I think what a blessing it was to be able to grow up on the farm and have that experience. Think about your position in society. We are the middle class, upper class, and in many ways we are the rich of the world. We are the wealthy ones. We have homes that are elaborate. We have educational work opportunities. We have health services available to us. We have privileges and rights that many people in the world do not have, do not exist. Think about protection. We may not think about this one, but it is a blessing to be found favorable in those around us. Many times we escape theft, accidents, sickness, and even death. I know for one that I had a near-death experience, and God blessed me by being able to raise me up again. We have been blessed to have a godly spouse. Proverbs says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And so, family, maybe children, maybe grandchildren, friends on earth, we have experienced so much in life. To be able to come and go, to vacation here and there, to experience life in its fullness, we have the favor of God. And the scriptures tell us that we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So all that Christ has done and for us is waiting there for us to access. This particular psalm, this Psalms 30, is probably one that's not very familiar to us. But it holds a couple of key phrases that we do recognize. This psalm was probably actually a psalm of dedication on the occasion when there was a consecration of the temple site. The temple had not yet been built. God didn't want David to build it because there was blood on his hands, but David found the site and began collecting the materials that Solomon would need, and then Solomon built the temple. So David, on this occasion, sings this praise to God for the favor that God has bestowed upon him. And so our scripture here today is really talking about this dedication, but it also can apply personally because David is talking about his own healing, his own escape from death. And so we have here a recovery of his sickness, and also then he's offering praise to God. All of us have been sick one time or another, right? And some of us sometimes have really had a long haul of it, so to speak, and yet we're here and we're able to praise God. Praise God that He saw us through. He pulled us through sometimes a very serious illness, and David can join in that praise for God's healing in his life. Wycliffe Bible Commentary says this little short psalm can be divided into four parts. The first part is a praise for recovery, verses 1 through 3. And David, in a sense, imagines a bucket being lifted down into a well, pulling up the water, the life-giving water out of a well. That's the way he felt about this praise, the being able to become whole again. And then there's a call to remembrance, verses 4 through 5. He encourages people to sing to the Lord. After a night of weeping, then joy comes in the morning. God's answer comes. And then there's a suffering in retrospect here in verses 6 through 10. David has in the back of his mind, he has to remember that one time when he wasn't obedient to the Lord, it cost him 70,000 men. There was a plague that broke out. Can you imagine 70,000 men dying? Maybe it'd be like if when the train tracks here go through Rocky Ridge here, so imagine the military was moving 70,000 troops and there was a serious accident and all of them were killed. That would make the news, wouldn't it? Can you imagine losing that many people? And in this dedication, this moment of praise for his health and for the ability to continue to be able to build this temple, David's thinking about all those men that he lost as well. And so it renews his sense of praise in verses 11 through 12. He writes this psalm. He's been able to conquer Jerusalem, pull together all the fashions and different aspects of all that's been around him and all that's gone on, lots of trouble. And he's been able to pull this all together and make Jerusalem the capital. And here he's going to dedicate this spot for the temple of the Lord. He realizes he's often been near death as Saul has chased him. And yet God's brought him through it all. And so he sings praises to God. And his praise will continue forever, he says. David says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Dr. Stanley writes, he says, our holy God must judge sin, but because he is a loving God, he takes great pleasure in showing mercy and bestowing grace upon us. Hard times may be a fact of life on earth, but one day he will wipe away all our tears. God never meant for life to be one long dirge. He never meant for his people to trudge through life with a perpetual cloud over their heads. To know God is to know joy. And even in sorrow, we can rejoice in him. I hope that's your feelings here today. That this phrase, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what the part that we have to remember. That's the classic verse that out of this psalm that many people know. And I'm sure you've probably heard that many times. But what really caught my attention was his favor is for life. You know, God is good. This can be translated, in his favor is life, and it can also be translated, his favor is for a lifetime. His favor is for life. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us all the goodness that he has. He wants us to have favor with him. His blessings are countless, and they're available to us. And so if we've gone through a hard time, my guess that oftentimes it makes people go two ways. Either they get bitter or they get better. Which are you? Are you bitter about what happened? Or is God making you better because of it? Job said, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Solomon wrote, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. God's understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of the unfaithful is hard, but the way of the blessed is joy. Faith, action, character, good understanding, these bless us. These are part of the favor of God. And did you know that one of the rewards of being benevolent is unselfish caring about others opens the door to their hearts. It opens their door to favor. And being compassionate as well. A person who diligently seeks the good of another will receive approval and the favor of those who observe their unselfish actions. And so we can have favor with God and we can have favor with men. What is the alternative? What is the opposite? I hear people talking about karma. Well, you know, they're not getting karma here, or have some bad luck going on. Well, karma is a Buddhist and Hindu idea. It states in the dictionary that karma is the power resulting from an individual's volitional acts, which determines his cycle of reincarnations before he attains release from this world. It is the sum of the total acts done in one stage of a person's existence, which determines his destiny in the next stage. Jainism, another form of Buddhism and Hinduism, says that it's a form of matter which can contaminate a soul and postpone its attaining nirvana. Now, I don't believe in those things, but neither do we necessarily believe in bad luck. It might be that we think we have bad luck, chance, it's a fortune, tendency to a person to be unfortunate, maybe it's some unsolicited thing that takes place in your lives, and we think that we have bad luck. We might think that nothing seems to go right for us. Oftentimes, when there is a death, sometimes it seems like things happen in threes, and so there's another death, and then there's another death, and Lord, I can't take any more. There was a phrase on Hee Haw. How many remember Hee Haw? Hee Haw, they used to sing a phrase, gloom and despair and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Maybe you feel that way sometimes, but as a child of God, we really don't need to rely on karma or bad luck or anything like that. We should recognize that we have God's blessing. We have the blessing of God. And like any good father, God wants to bless his children. He wants to give them all the good things. And so if we're living in sin, or if we're being disobedient to God, or if we've turned away from him, it's hard for God to bless us. God wants to bless us. He wants us to have good favor. And so how do we get God's favor? Living a life that is pure, following God's commandments, trying to stay close to God. It's not a works salvation. We've already received the salvation. But it's following through with that which we know. And we can pray. Some years back, it was very popular. Brooks Wilkerson put out this little book about the prayer of Jabez. It was kind of a big thing at one time. But that is a neat little prayer that you can pray. Here's what Jabez prayed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. Sounds like a pretty good prayer, doesn't it? Not to cause any pain, to be favorable to others, to keep ourselves from evil, that his hand would be upon us, not only his hand upon us, but that he would enlarge our territory. And so we can pray that for ourselves, and we can pray that for our congregation as well. That he would enlarge our territory, he would enlarge our attendance, and he would enlarge our way of we're able to reach out. And if we have favor with others, God will grant favor to us as well. Another thing that we can do is to remember Noah. Wore my rainy day tie today, and has Noah's Ark on it. And Dr. Stanley once preached a series of three sermons entitled Walking in the Favor of God. And I thought it was interesting, a couple of things that he says here in those messages. To remember about Noah. You know, we know that phrase that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He found favor with God. And the favor of God was expressed in his life in his approval, his acceptance, his support, provision, power, and joy. God's favor was poured out on us at salvation when our sins were forgiven. and is further displayed by the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit who seals us as His children. His favor is a fact, but it's also something we can experience on a daily basis as we walk in it. Dr. Stanley encourages us to have conversation, character, and conduct. To have conversation with God, to listen to God, to communicate with God, to have character, the biblical character that He has given to us, and also then to have conduct, to follow through. And I like, he says here, also that what makes Noah unique is that in the midst of the wicked, evil society, he alone found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the kind of affirmation from God that we should all desire and pursue in order to honor and to please Him. And so he encourages us to listen to God, to trust God, and to obey God. Think about how that followed through in Noah's life. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, it was only 10 generations since he made Adam and Eve that God looked around the world and things were so wicked. And he was sorry that he made man. And he had to destroy the earth and all living things except what was on the ark. Just in 10 generations. As you look around our culture, how has things changed in just your lifetime? A generation is 40 years. And so if we compare how much descent there was in just 10 generations, that would take us back 400 years. So let's say 1625. How was life like here in this country in 1620? When the pilgrims came, how much has changed in that time frame? And just how much has changed in our lifetime? When I went to school, the two big things to get in trouble was for chewing gum in class and being late. Now we have to have police outside the doors. We have to have at the doors to check, to make sure they're not bringing guns in. We have to worry about our kids being shot. How much things have changed in just one generation. And so to have the favor of God, we need to listen to God, we need to trust Him, and we need to obey. I think these are sobering things to think about. But to recognize that God, when He closes a door, He opens a window. He made a way for Noah and his family. And we have the promise of that in the rainbow. And so after the rain, we see the rainbow, God's promise. God wants to favor us. And though our culture has changed, God still wants to favor His children. His favor is for life. His favor, regardless of the weeping and the sufferings and the sorrow and the difficulties, we have to endure for a short time. We know that His favor is for life. His favor allows us to experience joy. And He wants us to be joyful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His favor is life. His favor is for life. His favor is for a lifetime. His favor is for life and not for death. As righteousness leads to life, say he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Proverbs 11:19. And so we're told here and again to choose life and to live in God's favor. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. His favor is not just some pie-in-the-sky dream, but His favor is for right now. And we have been blessed. His favor is for a lifetime and for eternity. He desires his children to be blessed, and his favor is upon us. And by faith in Christ, putting our trust and faith in him, we are children of God. We get a chance to enjoy all the blessings of God as sons and daughters of God. We are children of the Most High. How much more blessed can we be? And so listen to God, trust God, and obey God. His favor is for you. His favor is for life. Praise be to the Lord. Amen. Would you join me in standing as we share together in the closing hymn? And it is number 182. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.